Good morning, and welcome back to The Morning Magazine. It's time for part two.
Welcome, everyone, to Morning Magazine for this November 3rd, 2022, 10:32 on the clock in part two. Got your host, James, here. We're joined by our good friend, Janelle Weir, horticultural educator with UW Extension. Good morning, Janelle.
Good morning.
How have you been?
Pretty good. Programming is slowly kind of winding down.
Yeah.
I'm kind of going into my planning mode as far as what kinds of fun things can I do next year?
I did, if you don't mind, I really want to get into the conversation today. We're going to be talking outdoors a bit, mulch, pruning, and some other stuff. Just rewinding for a second, how was Science by the River? How did that go?
Oh, Science by the River was really a lot of fun.
Good.
I had a station, a booth, a demonstration booth, where I got to introduce both young and not so young folks to the concept about pH, acids and bases. And I did it by using cabbage juice as a pH indicator. And that's always a lot of fun because I had four or five clear liquids that, you know, when you add the cabbage juice, they would change different colors everywhere, everything from like a really hot pink all the way into this really cool kind of greenish teal color. And so it's really fun. I get excited when I see things change colors before my eyes.
Yes.
And I could even get maybe the really young folks who may not really be able to understand the concepts of acids and bases, I can still get them excited about the magic behind science just with all of the colors changing. So yeah, it was awesome.
Just hearing you talk about it gets me excited, let alone seeing it and everything. That's really cool to hear. Very good to hear. I know it was its second year, but I heard so many good things from the community about it. I had to pick your brain a little and find out how it went. That's cool. That's really good to hear. So diving right into what you want to get to today, your main topic, going outdoors for this one. We're gonna begin to, talking mulch. Is that where you want to start?
Yeah. Okay. I think this time of year, you know, we are winding down in general. Just like I was talking about my programming, you know, in general, things are getting less active outside, but there's still some things that we need to do to kind of button up the our landscapes and get them prepared for the next growing season.
Yeah.
You know, I always talk about how, you know, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. So things that we do right now are going to make the growing season next year more spectacular.
Yeah.
It could be things like, you know, as we go through, I'll explain the reasons why we want to do this stuff. But really, all of this stuff is leading to less diseases next year, less insects next year. We're really making those problems that are going to come because we are growing in in our environments, and all of the insects and the diseases, they all have a niche. They have a place in the natural world.
Absolutely.
But with horticulture, horticulture is both the art and the science of growing things. So we're not letting we as humans, when we're actively growing, we're not letting nature just, you know, run its course.
Yeah.
We are intentionally, you know, playing around with nature.
Mm-hmm.
So since we're kind of taking that perspective, when we prepare ahead of time, we can make it a lot easier for ourselves.
Mm-hmm. So when it comes to mulch, what are some things that people should keep in mind this time of year?
So your azaleas and your rhododendrons, you're going to, well, first of all, you're going to wait until after the ground freezes.
Okay.
So we've got some time yet to before we do any of this stuff. But once the ground freezes, your azaleas and your rhododendrons, you're going to want to mulch them with either some chopped oak leaves or pine needles. So if you've got a ton of pine needles, this is where you want to use them, right? If you're going to be raking them up out of the lawn, then go ahead and, you know, don't bag them up necessarily. With the pine needles, you can just use them straight as a mulch. With your leaves, you're going to want to make sure that they're chopped first. So you can either run a lawnmower over them. If you're going to run the lawnmower over them early, I'd recommend starting in a back and forth direction and then go perpendicular to the direction that you went. That way you really get them good and chopped.
Yeah.
What you don't want to do is just take your leaves and put them right on top of the rhodies or the azaleas, because what you'll end up doing is you'll end up with a matted mess, right? And if you chop them, the leaves are going to protect them, but they will also break down faster for you. So you're not dealing with a big mess in the spring.
Nice.
Perennial beds, so your flower beds, but also, you know, your asparagus beds or your strawberry beds too. Those you're going to want to mulch them with a nice coarse material. Again, we're not laying the leaves flat, but you know, either marsh hay would work or clean straw would work really nicely. And you're only going to want to mulch them. You're going to want to mulch them heavier than you would in the summertime. So let me kind of back up a little bit. When I'm talking about mulching right now, it's going to be different than what you would do in the summer. In the summertime, you only want to put down 2 inches tops for a mulch. In the wintertime, really trying to protect crowns from heaving. So I'm thinking about like in the perennial beds with your coral bells, your heucheras. Those are not deeply rooted. So the mulching is really preventing the heaving from happening. So we want to use a nice coarse material. So like I said, marsh hay or straw would work really nicely. If you've got annual beds that you've got some flowers that come up every year, kind of thinking about those zinnias, right? Here with those, you don't want to put down a heavy mulch because if, especially annual beds that are self-seeding, if you put too heavy of a mulch down, those seeds aren't going to germinate in the spring. So don't go too heavy on the annual beds. And again, with the annual beds, you know, you are mulching mostly maybe to keep the seeds in place. Mostly what you're doing there is more of preventing erosion, not so much protecting crowns because they're annuals, right? So they haven't germinated yet.
I'm paying attention, Janelle. All these times, all these years we've been doing this, and I'm finally starting to get stuff. It's kick in now. What about strawberries? How about that?
So strawberries and brambles, you need to wait until after the ground is frozen, but not too long. Right? You don't want to wait too long. Typically, this is going to be late November is when the ground will freeze, but not always. You know, I know that we've had some years that it was up until early December that I was planting bulbs.
It's crazy. This weather, though, that's Wisconsin.
It's Wisconsin, and our winters are our falls are have been trending longer, warmer. Springs kind of have been going in the opposite direction, where we've been having late frosts. You know, it's getting to be more and more common. I think for us to have those late frosts in the last week of May, you know, a devastating late frost is one thing to be kissed by 32 degrees, but the past few years we've had some really serious damaging late frosts, you know, upwards of May 24th, May 27th.
Not to get us down another a different rabbit hole here, but it's something that I've been curious about, and I wanted to talk about with your UW team member Matt Lippert a little bit. But how much or if at all that has affected the ag industry? So much is based on the seasons, and you know this to this amount of time, and this to this amount of time, and then all of a sudden you're in November 1st and it's 70 out, and it's I mean I'm such a layman when it comes to this stuff, so I don't know if it's a silly question or not, but I wondered if this stuff affects, you know, the whole year, if it affects the not only the what we're growing, but how we grow our plants, how we, you know, even our gardens.
So I can't speak for the ag industry. I don't know enough about what's going on there. I can kind of back up a little bit, though, and speak towards the natural environment. So, you know, when we... The problem with the changing climate, you know, and like I'm talking about these... warmer days, you know, this late in the season, what will happen is things kind of get out of whack, right? When we think about the natural environment, think about the whole food web, right? Everything is connected to everything else. So when things either break dormancy early or go dormant, you know, at what their regular time is. Mm-hmm. There may be, so the stuff that's breaking dormancy early, are there going to be pollinators for them? Mm. Are the insects, you know, going to be behaving what they should be doing at the time that they should if the plants are waking up earlier? Same with animals, right? Mm. All of that stuff is connected. And so it's all evolved to, you know, I think about crabgrass seeds start to germinate right around the time that the crocus and the forsythias are blooming, right? Mm. Well, you know, are there pollinators available for them at that time?
Right? Yeah, interesting. Very interesting. Oh, that's something right there. Thank you for that.
Yeah, so I don't, you know, I think that when it comes to, you know, is this stuff affecting, I think there's probably plenty of research over the past 10 years to see the changes, you know, the 10 years prior to that. Mm-hmm. A lot of this stuff is going to be us researching it. We won't know the answers in real time. We'll know the answers after a few years. But in the meantime, things are continuing to change. So, yeah, that's why the whole system idea is really complex.
Thank you for doing that. Thank you for going down that hole with me. I appreciate it. That wasn't scheduled. I appreciate that. Thank you, Janelle. So getting back to the outdoors, you're doing a nice job getting us a lot there on the mulching. What about pruning? How about that?
Yeah, so generally speaking, when we think about our flowering ornamental shrubs, kind of a rule of thumb is going to be to prune, if it's something that flowers, prune it after it's done flowering, okay? Mm. So if you have some fall blooming hydrangeas, now would be a good time to go ahead and prune those back. You want to prune them down to where there's only one or two pairs of buds on each flowering stem. So you're going to cut them back quite a bit. As far as, you know, outdoor lawn mowing, as the ground starts to get colder, you make sure that you do one last lawn mowing, but you want to set the blade. I know I always talk about mow high, let the grass grow a little bit longer, even if it makes you feel just a little uncomfortable, right? That's us growing too.
Yes.
Well said. But this time around, right before winter, go ahead and set your blade 1/2 inch lower than usual. Mm. And then now's a good time. Take care of those tools. Your lawnmower, if you're not going to be using it over the winter, go ahead and drain the gas from the mower. That's going to protect the mower over the wintertime. As you're putting your tools away right now, especially these beautiful warm days, now is the time to take a look at your tools, clean them, do any lubricating that needs to be done to them, oiling them up, protecting them. They're going to last a lot longer. Sharpening those blades.
Yep.
If you're draining that gas, the gas from the lawnmower, you're not going to be using it for the next few months. Go ahead and get those blades into the shop to have them sharpened now, so that way at the beginning of the season, you're starting off your season with a nice sharp tools.
It's a great approach, especially if you get in the habit of it, you know, doing it a year or two, you're going to be in that mode from going forward. I know because my dad, that's all I've ever grown up with. He does this same thing every year of my life. This is when he cleans the blades or when he, you know, does especially a little bit of maintenance, like that maintenance he's been putting off on the lawnmower or something like that.
Yeah, you know, I mean, again, an ounce of prevention goes a long way towards a cure later on. Now would be a good time to go ahead and prune your grapevines and prune once your raspberries have gone fully dormant. You can go ahead and prune those, your black, yellow, and purple raspberries by shortening all of the lateral branches down to about 15 inches or so. And then if you've got any summer bearing raspberry, blackberry canes that fruited this year, go ahead and get those cleaned up too.
Okay.
Although if you let them sit, the bunnies are going to take care of them for you. So.
Gotcha. The pruning grapevines, I haven't heard of that before. It makes sense. I guess I hadn't really heard of people doing that before. That's a way to keep it, you know, healthy, I imagine, and going throughout the winter.
Yeah. So with grapes, you're going to want to prune them so that way they will They do better fruiting. You'll get a better yield off of them. There's a couple of different pruning strategies that you could look at, or like pruning styles, I guess, techniques. At the Extension, we've got this beautiful publication that really goes into detail, not only pruning your grapes, but everything from cultivar selection, kind of getting the site prepared. Mm-hmm. But even if you say that you purchased a house and you've got some grapevines and you're like, okay, well, I guess I grow grapes now. What do I do? You know what? This will help you. This publication will help you with that maintenance, the pruning, fertilizing going forward, kind of help you get on track. So if that's something that, you know, is something that you could get a hold, you know, you could use, definitely reach out to me over at the Extension office. Our phone number is 715-421-8440. And I can get you connected to not only that resource, but you'd be surprised how many different resources and Extension publications we have. From like lawn care to, I have resources about keeping poinsettias alive. So, if there's anything regarding growing plants and you've got questions, don't be afraid to reach out to the Extension office.
Well, now my mom's going to be calling you. Now about that one. You brought that, you got my dad and my mom now busy. They're both of their attention. When it comes to kind of some of the more fringe things outdoors that maybe we don't always get a chance to talk about or focus on, how about we get into a little bit of that, Janelle? Like, what about finishing planting spring bulbs, that kind of thing?
Yeah, don't be a Janelle. Don't wait until December to plant your spring bulbs. Now's a great time. The bulbs have been at the stores. So by spring bulbs, what I mean are your daffodils. I think if I had to pick one flower that was my favorite, which that's just ridiculous to imagine. But if I had to, I think daffodils would be my favorite.
It's a good pick.
Yeah, they're nice gorgeous choice. So daffodils, tulips, hyacinths, crocus, all of those spring ephemerals that bloom and kind of, they're the harbingers of spring, right? They're the ones that let us know, all right, you know, the spring has finally arrived. You want to get those planted now. You won't, first of all, you're not going to be able to even find those bulbs available in the rest of the year.
Yeah.
They're available now because now's when you need to plant them. Mm-hmm. If you've got any left that you haven't already planted, it's not too late. Go ahead and get those in the ground. If you're thinking about starting any new perennial beds, now's the time to go ahead and start getting that prepared for a spring planting. Here I'm kind of thinking about, hopefully you did a soil test. If you didn't do a soil test, it's not too late. Mm-hmm. You can do a soil test any time of the year as long as the ground is frozen. And in fact, now would be a better time to do a soil test rather than waiting, you know, in the spring. Because in the spring, you don't want to be digging in the dirt until it's completely thawed and drained, right? So that's going to be putting off when you're going to be getting that soil test. So get your soil test now if you haven't already done it. If you did get a soil test and it says, you know, you've got some amendments that need to be done, perhaps your pH is extremely high or extremely low, well, correcting pH is a very long process. The actual putting the sulfur or the lime on the ground, that doesn't take too long, but for the sulfur or the lime to take effect, that's anywhere from like 6 months to a couple of years before you're really going to see those effects. So pH says, if the soil test says the pH was off, you're going to want to take care of that right away. You may also, now is actually the best time of the year if you're going to put large amounts of compost in. So this is going to be true for both your perennial beds, but also your vegetable garden. A lot of times we kind of think about that type of stuff as being spring stuff. But if you've already got the compost and you know that you're going to be adding it to perennial beds, to vegetable gardens, put it on now. It's going to be more effective now. Something about compost, actually, that I think many people may not realize is compost has some properties to it that reduce the germination of seeds. So if you're thinking, oh, I've got this, you know, I got my compost that I've been working all summer on, and I'm going to spread that in the spring, and then I'm going to plant my seeds, I'm going to plant my carrot seeds in it right away, that may end up with not the germination rate that you had hoped for. Some of them are probably going to germinate, but you're going to get a better germination rate if you let the compost sit. And you want to let it sit a minimum of 2 weeks. A month is even better, right? So now we're thinking about in the spring and when we're getting in there and when we're planting, you don't want to be in the garden until it's thawed, because you're going to add compaction. So all of this to say, now's the time to put in a lot of compost.
Gotcha.
The other thing is, if you've got some window boxes, if you've got any outdoor planters that stay outdoors, go ahead and fill them up with greens and berries or any other sorts of seasonal displays that you want to have for the coming holidays. You know, this is another one of those times where your present self is going to be really thankful for the work that you've done now, rather than waiting until it's freezing rain outside. And you really, you know, had your heart set on these beautiful planters.
How about the heavily watered trees, shrubs, that kind of thing?
Yeah, so a lot of times I think we think that, you know, once it starts to get to be a little bit cooler, we don't need to be worrying about watering our outdoor plants because they're not, you know, actively growing. Especially, you know, I'm thinking about those conifers, right? Every spring I'll get a phone call, really when the temperatures start to warm up. So probably anywhere from mid-May into first week of June, I'll get a ton of phone calls about winter burn on conifers. Now is when you prevent winter burn on conifers. What happens is conifers, they hang on to their needles, and instead of having leaves, so deciduous plants, they drop their leaves because they don't want to lose water. Conifers have needles, and that kind of protects them from that water loss. But because they maintain those needles all winter long, they are particularly at risk to damaging winds, drying winds. And so they'll experience some water loss, right? If they did not have enough water up until when the ground freezes, that's when you start to see, you know, the your conifers really suffering, and you won't notice that damage until they break dormancy, and then all of a sudden the you'll have big brown spots and your arborvitae and things like that. Biggest way, a lot of times, what people will do, well, they'll wrap them in burlap, which will potentially help. It could also cause a really nice nesting spot for rodents to hang out over winter. But it may help. I mean, I'm not saying that it's not a worthwhile strategy.
Just something to think of.
Right. But the most effective thing that you can do is keep an eye on the water, especially when we're going through dry spells like right now. Keep an eye on that water. Make sure that you're watering those conifers all the way up until the ground freezes.
Okay. And inventory, like as far as that goes, cleaning, repairing, that kind of thing. You're touching on that a little bit earlier.
So, in fact, I just did this a couple weeks ago with, I have a program up in Marathon County where I work with folks who have court-mandated community service. And so one of our final projects was emptying out the garden shed. And a person that had the best handwriting, they, as everyone worked together to sort the tools and kind of figure out what do we have, what do we want to keep, what don't we want to keep, and you know, for next year. And then they wrote down a nice inventory of what we had. Cool. So this way, when I'm in, you know, winter planning mode, when I've surrounded myself with hot cocoa and seed catalogs and I'm daydreaming about the coming growing season,
I can picture it already.
I already know what tools I have and what tools I'm going to need to replace or add to my toolbox.
You know, it's one of the things that I've learned from you with gardening and really with a lot of lawn care in general. And that, a little bit of you, a little bit of my dad on that one. But all these things that you want, I take prep. I mean, almost darn near anything we're talking about are going to take a little prep, take a little patience, and you want to get ahead of the game on these things. You want to start early. Otherwise, you're just not going to get the turnout, the outcome that you are hoping for, whether it's a vegetable or just your lawn in general.
You know, with the therapeutic horticulture programming that I do, and that's what I do with the community service folks, mm-hmm. and, you know, other types of stuff that I do, I always go back to gardening is so powerful because it's a metaphor for life.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So, you know, now I could use a lot of this work in other parts of my life. I'm not going to lie. I'm going to mm-hmm. be completely honest. Yeah, I'm yeah. not well prepared in everything that I do. But, you know, a lot of these concepts really, you know, I mean, thinking ahead mm-hmm. and planning for, you know, better, you know, planning for outcomes, being intentional, all of that does apply to other areas of our lives too.
Life is chaos. Life is entropy, and it is figuring out how to get through that. But with that, you can plan for certain things. And this job is a good example of that. I know that it's live radio. Tons of things can happen. So I prep this, this, and this. I have this, this, and this prepared. So when the wild thing happens, I've got everything else already set up, and I can handle that. My papa taught me this lesson when I first moved out here. He sent me outside to go chop wood, and it's like July. And I'm like, why am I chopping wood in July? I'm roasting out here doing this thing. I'm coming from Chicago. I don't get this. Why am I doing this? December rolls around. He sends me outside to get some logs of wood. I run out there. I'm out there for 2 minutes, and I'm bringing them back in. And he goes, that's why. And I had no idea what he was talking about. He literally waited months to tell me why he did this. This is my family.
I love it.
But it worked because my whole life, that's how I've been, as a prepper, as a planner, a thinker ahead, and those kind of things. You're so right about this. Almost any aspect of life, you get what you put in and what you prepare for.
I love that lesson. I love his patience.
Oh, my God.
You know, yeah. I mean, that's something that an older person does, you know?
Yeah.
But what an effective lesson. I mean, here you are all these years later, and when it comes to thinking ahead and how beneficial that is, you can pull out that memory and that lesson. That is cool.
It goes hand in hand with these things we're talking about here. And as we're wrapping up our last couple of minutes, not to rush you, but I do want to get to a little indoors and touch on some of that.
Yeah. So now is the time to start thinking about if you're going to force any bulbs. So any of those, you can force your daffodils, your tulips, hyacinths. I know I talked about daffodils before, but my favorite flower for forcing is hyacinths. Mm. And it's because they're so incredibly fragrant, but they bloom so early, and they are only like maybe 8 inches off the ground. So I'm not afraid to get dirty and muddy, but I don't really like, you know, being on my hands and knees in the snow appreciate this, or mud, cold mud, to appreciate the smell of a hyacinth. So that's why they're my favorites for forcing.
Nice.
Anyways, so go ahead and start prepping your flowers for forcing. There are some that you don't need to give a cold treatment for. Those are going to be your paper whites and your amaryllis. So go ahead and get those if you want to do paper whites or amaryllis for Christmas displays. Mm. Now's the time to go ahead and start getting those prepared. And then in general with your house plants, we're past the autumnal equinox, and that means the plants are getting the message. Even if it's nice and warm inside our houses, the plants are getting that message that the day length is shorter and the sun is less high in the sky. And so they're going to go into a semi-dormant mode. So go ahead and pull back on that water. You don't need to water them as frequently as you were in July.
Cannot thank you enough for the time and everything. Janelle, people need to get a hold of you or have follow-up questions. How can they do that?
So you can always contact the Wood County Extension Office. That phone number is 715-421-8440. Otherwise, the quickest way to get a hold of me is just shoot me an email directly. So my email address is my first name dot last name, and that's janelle.weher@wisc.edu.
Thanks again for the time, Janelle. Have a good one.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, appreciate it. And we'll be back with more show for you tomorrow. Stick around, everybody. Got plenty coming up here at WFHR.
You're tuned into your home for the Wisconsin Badgers on 97.5 FM and 1320 AM WFHR locally.